All right, let's play word association. I say Korean food, and you say barbecued meats. I know. Well, cookbook author Joanne Lee Molinaro wants to change your answer. Through her blog and her viral TikToks, Molinaro gives her vegan take on Korean dishes. Her book is The Korean Vegan Cookbook, Reflections and Recipes from Oma's Kitchen. Oma as in her mother. And this year, that book won a James Beard Award. Those are the Oscars in the food world. I got to speak to Joanne Lee Molinaro back in May. You write that you discovered that Korean vegan cuisine is not a new concept, not a new thing. Tell me about that.
It isn't. And the thing is, when I first adopted a plant-based diet, I didn't know this myself. So I don't judge anyone, including you, if you didn't know it before.
I did not.
Yeah. So in Korea, as you may know, there are many Buddhists. Buddhism is still widely practiced in the peninsula. Yeah. And in Korea, Buddhist cuisine is largely plant-based. So when I went in 2019, I actually visited a Buddhist temple and I spoke with one of the nuns. And she explained to me, you know, very nicely, plant-based food has been around a lot longer than Korean barbecue, than even the word veganism.
Oh, wow. And you explore that in your book. But I have to note that you are a lawyer, which makes your Asian parents more proud than mine. But how did you move into this foodie space?
You know, that's a great question. And especially now when people are really kind of using this break from corporate life, you know, walking into the office every day to explore some of these passion projects. And that's exactly what it was, Scott. You know, a few years ago, I went plant-based and I decided in order to keep myself sort of motivated, why not channel some of my creativity into a blog?
Yeah.
And that's what I started doing. I started sharing my recipes. And then shortly thereafter, I started sharing the stories about my parents, and it turned into this huge thing. It turned into a book deal, it turned into a TikTok, and now a full-blown career.
Joanne, I should say I tried a couple recipes in your book with my oma, with my mom. We tried the kimbap sushi and the bulgogi wasabi melt. And the kimbap, these rolls have this wonderful surge of flavors, the pickled radish, the egg or egg substitute, seaweed, carrots, kale. What's the key to getting this recipe to sing, to get it right?
Well, I could not have described anything better than the way you described it, Scott. So Korean cuisine is really about creating that perfect bite. And that perfect bite usually starts with rice, which I'm sure you're familiar with. And then we add a pickled vegetable. We add some kind of protein. We add some kind of spice or heat. And that is what composes this perfect bite. And kimbap is sort of a snack food. It's like a hack. You know how the kids love hacks these days, right?
Yeah.
It's a hack on a traditional Korean meal, which has got all these little components. Well, why not put it into just one bite? Sometimes I liken kimbap to the Korean burrito, you know? It's got nori, it's got rice, and then all the components inside of that roll. And that's really what kimbap is. So I love that you discovered that sort of organically on your own.
So great. And I should say in the bulgogi wasabi melt, I'll just say it's another explosion of flavors, including hummus mixed together with wasabi powder. We mix it with wasabi together, but it's just this great variety of flavors. But in this book, you not only share recipes, you also tell stories about your family. And you learn that both your parents were born in North Korea. Now, if your family's like mine, it takes a lot of time and interrogating and sometimes a fair bit of shame to get all this history. How'd that happen for you?
As a gift, my birthday gift, actually, I use my birthday as the excuse because they like always are complaining, I never know what to get you for your birthday. And I'm like, well, for my birthday, just write down your life story. Literally write it down in a Word document and email it to me. So now I not only have their stories in my head and in my heart, I have a document that I can refer back to for the rest of my life. And so those stories, like you say, you know, the flavors sing. Well, now my parents' stories, they sing as well in my heart.
And tell us a little bit about one of the key discoveries you made.
Well, I think certainly discovering that both of them were born in North Korea, what is now known as North Korea, was obviously a big one. Or even learning about my mother's life as a refugee. She was a refugee from North Korea in South Korea when she was growing up. She was homeless. She was digging for food on the ground. And what came across, Scott, that was so beautiful was how she was able to still find moments of joy in these otherwise terrifying moments. There's a war going on, and she was so excited about finding blackberries or digging up the perfect sweet potato. These are the memories that she still carries.
You also write in this book about your father and how his cancer diagnosis led you to give up meat. Can you share a little bit of that with us?
Yeah. So I was not sold on the whole vegan thing. This was an idea by, you know, my then boyfriend, now husband. And I was like, I don't know if Korean people can do the vegan thing. But I did watch a lot of documentaries about the health benefits of a plant-based diet. And one of them did feature a study about East Asian men and the occurrence of prostate cancer as they adopted a more Western, i.e. meat-filled diet. Didn't make a real impression on me at the time. But 2 weeks later, my father was, in fact, diagnosed with prostate cancer.
Oh, my goodness.
And I just felt it was such an odd coincidence. I couldn't let it go. And I'm not an overly religious person, but I'm also not an anti-religious person. I do believe, you know, in signs from the universe or God. And I felt God was maybe giving me a sign. Maybe it's time for you to be a good influence on your dad. And so I decided to give up meat that day.
Yeah. Wow. So those of us who want to flip through your cookbook and want a first easy, tasty first recipe to try, give me one.
Okay, so this is one of my favorite recipes. It's the cucumber kimchi, and I often describe this as kimchi for noobs or newbies. If you want to try what obviously is an iconically Korean dish, but maybe you're a little intimidated by going the full bore with, you know, Napa cabbage kimchi, cucumber kimchi takes far less time to make. It pickles relatively quickly. It's just as refreshing and delicious and is easily modifiable for your palate, i.e. maybe you're not that used to spicy food.
And what is in that recipe?
Well, obviously it starts with cucumbers. And I can't overstate enough how important it is to use good cucumbers. Like, you know, when it's in season or if you have access to kind of local farmers who grow their own cucumber or even your own garden, which is what my mother does, of course. That's always the base of a great recipe is good, fresh produce, right? And then you're going to be adding things like gochugaru, which is a Korean chili powder that's very central to this recipe, as well as some tartness through rice vinegar. I like my kimchi a little bit on the sweeter side, so I'm going to be using either some kind of sugar or maple syrup or other kind of sweetener. My mom likes her kimchi on the salty side, so she just won't add any sweetener at all, but I like that sweetness. So it's just, like you said, an explosion of flavors in one bite.
Well, finally, Joanne, you write in your book that it is not these tastes primarily that you're trying to recapture or deliver as much as the feeling. What do you mean?
I think that sometimes vegan cookbook developers or recipe developers are so obsessed with completely replicating a dish that's not already vegan. And for me, I always say, look, you know, that can be helpful and it can be important. I think it's more important to just create a delicious dish, whether it tastes exactly like what you remembered when you were eating meat or whether, you know, it's just a different taste or texture altogether. But also, I think the things that I miss most, Scott, is fellowship with my friends and my family, those who are not vegan. And so when I create recipes, what I'm mostly trying to do is create an experience, an environment that allows you to have that sense of fellowship again with the people you love in your life, because food is that. It binds you to the people that you love.
Joanne Lee Molinaro, her book is The Korean Vegan Cookbook, Reflections and Recipes from Oma's Kitchen. Congratulations, Joanne. Thanks for taking the time.
Well, thank you, Scott.